Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will conclude our series of studies, Four Questions Asked by the Lord. The first question was, what think ye of Christ, which was asked of the Pharisees? Our Lord is the greatest of teachers. Asked questions, and he faced people with the demands that they answer the question. He asked this of the Pharisees, and they failed the test. They did not place their faith in the Lord. Now he continues the question down through the ages to us. What think ye of Christ? That we might have a proper regard for him. Then he asks the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This is Mark chapter 8. That we might have a proper sense of values. And then he asks the question, when shall we buy bread of Philip on the occasion of the feeding of the 5,000? And he asked that question knowing what he would do, but Philip was nonplussed. Now he asked the question that we might have a proper sense of our own insufficiency and his all-sufficiency. Philip could not supply the bread, but the Lord could. If there's any lesson that I'm learning in my Christian experience, it is this one, my insufficiency and God's all-sufficiency. Now, the question the Lord would ask us today is found in Matthew chapter 5, and the question is this, if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? And then we will just read further, as he says to them, as he puts this question before his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Here are the words that are completely written. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, Christians should have a higher standard than the worldling, than the unredeemed. Our standards should be high. Why? Because we're the children of our Heavenly Father. And he says in the next verse, the last verse of the fifth chapter of Matthew, be therefore perfect, fully developed, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. The standards of Christianity are very, very high. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, brings this out. And so he asks the question, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Now, let's set this in the context. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the law of Moses that commanded that. As a matter of fact, we are told in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 20, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish, so shall it be done to him again. And three times this verse is quoted in the law of Moses, or written in the law of Moses, in Exodus 21:24, Leviticus 24:20, and Deuteronomy 19:21. And it was their law. And if they smote out an eye of a person, they could expect their eye to be smitten out. Now, that was a great deterrent. But, oh, how severe a deterrent. And so he says here, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, he goes beyond the law of Moses. Here is the Lord himself. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever, shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Is the Lord speaking literally here, or is this hyperbole? Is the Lord exaggerating to make a point? The Lord says on another occasion, if you will recall, the Lord is speaking, I think, in hyperbole, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It is better to go into heaven with one hand than to go into hell with two hands. Now that's hyperbole. there's an easier way of getting to heaven than cutting off your hands. And I may say that that is simply trusting Christ, believing God when he tells you that Christ died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He loved you. He gave his son for you to die for your sins. And he lost his life on that cross to provide salvation for you and for me. God is holy. He must punish sin, but he didn't want to punish you, and he didn't want to punish me. So what did he do? He gave his only begotten son that he might take our punishment for you and for me upon the cross of Calvary. That's how much God loved you and me. And our Lord Jesus Christ writes these words, asks these questions, indeed would seem like hyperbole. Now, there's an easier way to get into heaven without cutting off your hands. Just take the Lord as your Savior. And there is an easier way than turning your other cheek, too. I think that the depth of the Lord's message here is that, as a Christian, be prepared to give more than you take. The Apostle Paul quotes our Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 20. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the Christian is on the giving end. We know that in life there are givers and there are takers. The Christian is a giver. Now, I don't mean that a giver doesn't ever take and a taker doesn't ever give. But for the predominant force of our lives, we as Christians are to be givers. Why? Because our Father is a giver. He gave his only Son to die on the cross for you and for me. He goes on in leading up to our verse today. If any man sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, 2 miles. Go the extra mile. Go the extra distance. Be prepared as a Christian. There's more expected from you. The challenge is great. Go the extra mile. And indeed, extend the extra kindness, the extra love, the extra consideration. Why? Because we're the children of our Heavenly Father, and oh, how he gave, love gives. And then it says, verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And then our verse, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? We are to grow into the character of God. And that indeed is a sacrificial character. And we indeed turn to the Lord to see what he has done for us. Would you like an example of what God has done? If you want to be the children of your Heavenly Father, be prepared for a few of these things. Now, the Lord's admonition is to act like the children of your Father. All right, grow into the likeness of that Heavenly Father. Well, let's think of a few verses that shows us what God has done for you and for me. For instance, we could read, and we will read, in Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You remember the Lord said, there's no greater love for this than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's our standard. But God laid down his life for his enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for many people that won't accept him, don't want him, and will not have him. Did that keep him from dying on the cross? No, he included you and me. And thank God for everyone who has honored that love and has accepted him because he loved us and died for us on that cross. And then we go on. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that, if you will, please. Before we ever knew him, before we ever existed, God knew that we would be resistant to his love. But that didn't stop his love. He's God, and God is love. Then we read in John 3:16, that wonderful verse, for God so loved the world. Love always gives. If we have love, does it give? Does it give to others? Does it give them monetary things of value? Does it give to them our time, our love? God loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves. He gave his Son for you. You know, I think I should shake myself sometimes and see, is this in the Bible? God gave his Son for me? He did. And he gave him for you so that you could be his Son too. And he conforms us to the image of his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has been well said, and I've repeated it over this broadcast before, perhaps you'll remember, that God thought so much of his Son that he wanted millions in heaven just like him. Are we interested in becoming like him now? If we're going to be like him in heaven, perhaps we should practice a little now, don't you think? Now, to go on, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think of the love that he has bestowed upon us. And that we know that we had been called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Don't be surprised if you're a Christian and people don't like you. They don't like your Father. And you remind them of your Father, so they don't like you. Now, as far as you and I are concerned, here's the standard. The Lord Jesus, in speaking to these disciples of his, if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, don't salute anybody else. God bless me and my wife, John and his wife, us four and no more. If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, or fully developed. It's not perfect in the sense of sinless perfection. But be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a high standard, isn't it? Would you have it the standard lowered? May we be givers, givers of our love, givers of our time, givers of our energy, to reach souls for Christ and to encourage his people. Our Father, today we pray that these questions asked by the Lord will reach our conscience and help us to become more and more like him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.